Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're really excited to be working with Free Trade, who've sponsored this video.
Free Trade believes in commission-free investing for everyone. This means you won't pay any commission when investing your spare cash.
While other brokers charge up to £12 per trade, Free Trade doesn't, so you can keep more of your money. And where they do charge, like on FX, it's fair and transparent.
The design of the app makes it simple and easy to use, which is great for any experience level. From beginners starting to educate themselves on the benefits of investing to experts already in the know.
You can start investing from just £2, and they offer these things called fractional stocks. This basically means you can buy a small piece of expensive US companies like Google, Tesla and Apple.
With over 700,000 investors on board and having won the best online trading platform at the British Bank Awards 5 years running, they're an investment platform you can trust.
Now for the best bit, if you create and fund your account with just £50 using our link, you will get a free share worth between £10 and £100. That could be in anything from Ford to Spotify.
Remember, when you invest, your capital is at risk. The value of your portfolio can go up as well as down, and you may get back less than you put in. This is not financial advice. You should always do your own research on what investments are right for you before investing or seek the advice of a professional. Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Last Lap Podcast, everyone listening, audio, visual, 5-star, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. What are you doing?
You need to get yourself into the zone. Yeah, I'm injecting Formula One into my bloodstream. Because we've not had any this week, so I feel like I need to replenish what I was missing.
We were all prepared and ready, weren't we?
I was ready. I was here, sat on the sofa like that, and it never came.
You turned up on Sunday and no one was here.
Yeah, there was no one in the studio. It was mental.
You weren't keeping your eyes on the Twitter sphere and on the news space, because unfortunately we didn't get an Emilia Romagna Grand Prix.
Yeah, do you know what's mad? I literally tweeted about a minute and a half before they announced it, and I said, yeah lads, probably can't do the Formula One this week, seems like there's a lot of flooding and that. I mean, that's paraphrasing. And then added F1 underneath. I was like, yeah, do the right thing, lads. And then literally a minute and a half later, they announced that they weren't.
You were the
straw. I would like to announce that I am the reason I think that's the right thing to do.
I mean, quite
But they saw their notifications and went, "Aye, listen,
yeah,
Niren's involved now."
Straw that broke the man blocked by Haas. Still,
yes, yeah. Haas didn't see that tweet.
No, funny enough.
Haas did not. But
funny enough,
everyone
they
else
did not. No, I think it's one of them that, you know,
it was very obvious.
I think I tweeted on Tuesday saying like, this can't go ahead. Like,
yeah,
even just the what's the word? It's not the metrics, just the look. Even if, because
the eye test,
yeah,
like, that sounds like I'm trivializing it, but it's just sort of like because in my head I was being an idiot. In my head I was like, yeah, the race is on Sunday, but even yeah, they've got like 4 days. So, and then I was like, yeah, no, actually, this has to be dealt with way earlier than Sunday. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
Like the running starts on Friday. Everyone's in the paddock from Thursday. Like if it's even still remotely flooded on Thursday, it can't run.
And that's the thing. It's one thing to have, you know, a waterlogged track like Spa, for example, where the race just couldn't go ahead safely. And another, because I think like by Sunday, there wasn't really too much rain, but
when you hold an F1 race, you have to have ambulances, you have to have fire engines.
And I think I saw you tweet about this, is the aspect of like, if you're taking away those emergency services because they just need to be on standby for the Formula One, when there's like mass flooding going on in the area and they're obviously needed for that instead.
Yeah, man.
F1 is trivial in comparison to that sort of thing.
So. I don't know if you've seen the drone shots of Faenza, which is where AlphaTauri is based.
Based.
And it's like insane, people have lost their lives. It will take months for that area to recover.
Yeah.
So we get, it's kind of like, you remember last year, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
When there was that missile strike.
Yeah.
And you could see the plume in the background and you had the drivers having a meeting. Again, there's certain times where, and that race, you got to think, right? That the money of Saudi Arabia, there was no way they weren't going to, unless the drivers fully did revolt, which they almost did. They were up till like 4 in the morning, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like that race, they were always going to put the money behind it to be like, well, I think they were like defending, be like, we've got missile defense systems or whatever, like trying to sell that.
What,
to
have
the
you
drivers.
Got a dome over the track, lads?
Which is mad. That's like, it's crazy. But this is the thing, it's like when you don't know, like maybe. They've got enough money to. Like
Jean Todt's just there with a like, grinning.
When the sport is anti-aircraft Jean Todt, like it's honestly like, it opens up, doesn't it? The whole idea that this is just cars going around in circles at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I mean, Yuki's been, because I think he lives in Faenza.
What a boy, by the way, going out and helping the sort of recovery, just going out, cleaning the streets. What a man.
Yeah, man. It's and right and all, because I think this is a team as well, like that team AlphaTauri, if we want to talk specifically to F1, you know, this is a team where a lot of the staff, personnel, team members who live in Faenza, a lot of drivers are attached to that team. Verstappen, Ricciardo, Sainz, like so many names who are established F1 drivers now or within the paddock anyway, are attached to that team. So, big up Emilia Romagna Faenza. Hopefully it won't take too long for things to return to a degree of normality, but it's pretty shit, man.
Yeah, it is. No, it's poor. It's a shame. Obviously, I'm guessing people who had sort of tickets for the Grand Prix and stuff, they'll get reimbursed and things like that.
Or so, they can move their tickets next year.
And that as well. I mean, there was obviously talk about whether the Grand Prix would get postponed or whether it would just get outright cancelled and whether we would ever like go back there for this race this year.
Yeah.
But obviously, again, like you said, the area is going to take so long to actually just recover. It would need to be at a certain slot in the season. Like it can't be, I can't imagine they would do it during the summer break, because it's summer break for a reason.
Yeah.
It would have to be during the European calendar. And obviously that tends to wrap up by sort of like September time.
Yeah, there's not that
much. So there's not a crazy, it might sound like a while, you know, between May and September, but you take out all the Grand Prix that are already there, all the races where, okay, if you put a race in between, you've now got like 5 Grand Prix in a row, which would not be possible. You start running out of slots to put it back into.
Exactly. And like people have already bought tickets planning for this event. Like say you've bought a ticket.
Specific weekend.
Say they redo the race in 3 months' time. Well, what if you're already booked on like going on holiday somewhere in 3 months' time? Like if you just, I don't think we'll see Imola this year. I don't think it will happen. There's enough races anyway. You're still going to have 22.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to lose sleep over, you know, that race not being reintroduced.
Because
again, fans can get a refund if they want, or it'll just get pushed back, whatever. But yeah, ultimately, it was the right decision that was made. I think also like government kind of, I think it was deputy prime minister or some kind of senior political figure was like, you kind of need to cancel this. Apparently someone was trying to do a concert in the area as well. Didn't cancel it.
And didn't cancel it.
Yeah. And it was like, there was loads of, that's an example of like, again, you can't with the metrics of the situation, like you can't justify having a big event of any kind when some like shit like that's going on, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't even know logistically how you would do that as well. Like imagine if there was like, you know, some like level of flooding going on. Imagine it just rained bare and the Thames was just like, yeah, not today, mate. Just like seeped over a little bit. I'm not going to start holding a concert like in East London, am I? How's people going to get there?
It's quite self-important.
Underwater, trying to like the sound system's underneath the water. Yeah. Bro, it's all muffled. People at the back can't even hear anything.
Like at the end of that, like we love sport, right? We love F1, but it is just sport at the end of the day. And like,
yeah, man,
you can't be that self-important. So again, right decision was made. But we move on. We've got Monaco this weekend.
Indeed.
Which we will touch on a bit later. But first...
And the beef that we have, or that I have with Monaco.
Yeah, we'll get onto that.
Yeah.
We'll have our little debate. But yeah. I wanted to talk about Willett. So a certain news publication that isn't my favourite, I'll be honest. I'm allowed my opinion.
Oh, nice.
Dropped an article late last night, I believe it was. And it was alluding to the idea, something that we've seen many a Photoshop. I've been responsible for Photoshopping this driver's head onto this set of overalls before.
Yes. Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Ferrari.
Mm.
Do you wanna go into the details?
Yeah, so it seems the thing is, this makes me always think of it like a football transfer because of the amount of money that's being offered as like a wage basis is just jokes.
Yeah, true.
But so apparently Ferrari wanted to offer Lewis Hamilton a chance at his 8th driver's championship by giving him a deal worth £40 million. To come and drive for the Scuderia. Now, I have also seen you edit this man onto Ferrari overalls before. I've seen many other people. I've seen it happen on like F1 games and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see it, it always makes me, die a little bit inside, you know? And for some reason, I can't imagine that. It's one of those things where if it was to happen, I would not be against it happening.
Yeah.
Or would I actually? There's a part of me that kind of, on a fundamental level, might be. Lewis, just think about it. Lewis Hamilton driving Ferrari seems like one side of Formula One driving for the other side. Yeah. It feels like
what feels weirder? Hamilton for Ferrari or Hamilton driving for Red Bull?
Ah, you see, that's crazy. No, Hamilton for Red Bull is mad.
Yeah, that's untenable.
Yeah.
Untenable.
That's completely. Like one of those sort of things where we actually like the universe would genuinely maybe like combust on itself if that actually happened.
Yeah.
Hamilton for Ferrari for one last hurrah though would be crazy.
The thing is, right, you said in that...
But the thing is... Actually, no, you go.
I was you said, like, to give him a shot at his 8-4 title. Is Ferrari the team to do that?
If you're Lewis Hamilton, yeah, and you're looking at that deal and going, hey, this could be one last chance at the title, you've got to... So if someone's got to talk you out of that.
Look.
Because that's not the place you want to go if you want a surefire chance at a championship, in my eyes.
Again, yeah. I mean, when you look at...
I've got side pods, though.
Mercedes. True. Well, you got Mercedes versus Ferrari. Like, obviously, yes, in recent years, Mercedes have been the far more impressive team. Mm-hmm. Ferrari has this legacy attached to it. This everyone's a Ferrari fan, which I do agree to to an extent anyway.
Yeah.
There is a degree of emotional attachment, I think, all F1 fans have to Ferrari. They've been here since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I understand the leg. I think Anthony Hamilton, so Lewis's dad, when he was manager, I remember reading quotes when he was saying, like, oh, I'd love to see Lewis driving in the red of Scuderia. Like, it would be mad. It would be insane because Ferrari has so often been the challenger to Lewis. Be that, you know, whether that was Felipe Massa 2008, whether it was Kimi Raikkonen 2007, whether it
Alonso.
Was like Alonso in those years, like Vettel, 17, 18, like he was the closest to Lewis in terms of a fight. And even like more recently, like with Charles Leclerc 2019, when he would have won that opener in Bahrain if his car hadn't broken down. So I think that's what makes it interesting. But the details of the article basically say that Ferrari's preference is that he goes in alongside Charles Leclerc. That's Ferrari's preference, according to this article. What do you make it? Because I think part of it is, do you have faith in Ferrari?
Mm-hmm.
Yay or nay, right? I can understand why not. But also, I think arguably just as big, if not bigger, if your primary goal is to win a world title, who's your teammate? Is it Leclerc? Is it Sainz?
Yeah, it's so difficult. Because the thing is as well, you've got to think about it from Leclerc's perspective as well. As a man whose contract is expiring soon, that might be an interesting leverage point for Ferrari to maybe be able to hold. To go, look, listen, not going to lie, lads. Yeah, we understand you might not want to sign that contract yet. We can't put wheels on the car properly. We get that. However... We've got a Lewis Hamilton right here.
Yeah.
We're ready to slot him in the other car.
Mm.
He's going to assist with developing the car, developing you as a driver, and hopefully taking us to some sort of championship. sign the ting.
That could be. But on the flip side, if you're Charles Leclerc, do you go, I want to be the number one here? Like, yeah. I feel like I've built this team or had a role in taking this team from fighting for third and fourth in the championship to winning races, taking poles or whatever. I want to remain the main guy here.
I've just had a theory, right? So we had, what was it, rumours around Baku that Charles and Mercedes were having conversations.
Yeah.
Now we've got rumours about Hamilton and Ferrari having... I don't know whether conversations have started yet. Apparently, this is just what Ferrari are looking to put on the table, right?
It's a quick 1-2. We've got to do a swap deal.
Are we saying that Leclerc and Lewis maybe have a little bit of a private WhatsApp group and they're like orchestrating this?
Yeah, facts.
Bump up there.
Charles just like, hang on a second, look, listen, Lewis, yeah.
This is mutually beneficial, man.
Yeah, yeah, we could get a few more pounds in for a second. I'm not going to lie. Like, think of the bank account.
Negotiate.
Lewis has got albums to mix, bro. It costs a lot of money. So and so, Charles. They could collaborate. Oh my God. So they actually, no, they can't
be
teammates. We literally
said this, didn't we?
They can't be teammates. They just make music the whole time. They'd just be in the studio.
Yeah, if it's beautiful music, man.
Like, it's beautiful music. Can you imagine Lewis doing like his ting, his spoken word ting over Charles's.
I want to see that.
I want to see that.
I want to see that. Look, I think that.
Sponsored again, by Spotify.
In this article, it talks about Ferrari, Ferrari thinking of swapping, because again, if they couldn't get them alongside each other, the second option would be swapping Leclerc with Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
That to me makes no sense from Ferrari's point of view.
Mm-mm.
Like,
you've got a long term
13 years difference between the two of them, and Leclerc is every bit as quick as Lewis.
Yeah, right.
Not as consistent, not as complete, but as quick.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
13 years different age gap. We don't know how much longer we're going to get Lewis. That would be ridiculous to give Leclerc to Mercedes.
Yeah, that would
make sense. The only way that would make sense is if Mercedes have already, we've got Leclerc. Mm-hmm. Like that would have to come from Mercedes' point of view. It's like Ferrari, like, oh, well, we've lost Charles anyway.
We might as well just get Lewis. Yeah, that's the only way that makes sense. They can't orchestrate that. That would be incompetence levels that might even extend beyond Ferrari.
Yeah, again, that's no, like, Lewis is still at the level, 100%, no doubt in my mind, but he's 38 and Leclerc's 25. Like, you can't look past that.
Leclerc's still 25.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Him and Max are still 25. They're still kids.
Oh, fuck, man. Max has two world championships and I'm the same age as him.
Already.
Is he 26 this year or has he just turned 25?
Oh, good question. I'm not sure. I think Max's birthday's like fairly soon, I think.
Because I'm 26 in 3 months, bro. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know.
Happy birthday,
30th of September. Max Verstappen.
No, wait, hang on. Wait. Does that mean he's younger than me?
He's 25 and he's 26 on the 30th of September.
Shit! Oh my God, I'm older than Max Verstappen.
Never mind.
I'm definitely up for
Max Verstappen, so I'm going to keep quiet. Okay, so this whole transfer, right? It feels like Lewis isn't going to be, let's be real, Lewis is not going to be motivated by money because he's got enough money. He wants an 8-4 title. So if your primary aim is to get an 8-4 title and you're Lewis Hamilton, what do you do? Let us know in the comments below.
I go to Aston Martin. Fuck both of them, honestly. Fuck it.
You break Lance's other wrist and be
man, honestly. Sorry, Lawrence, mate. He sprained it again. Yeah. Like, it's game over. Get me in the car for a year.
Yeah.
Genuinely, look, listen.
Get Lance on the back of his scooter and then, Oh, no.
He'll just do like dog sitting for him instead. Like, it'll be calm. The thing is, for me, if you are just solely of the idea of, right, cool, I want the 8th world title, I think Ferrari and Mercedes, I know it sounds very sit on the fence right now, but you're getting a very sort of very equal level of chance for both. Ferrari are kind of incompetent, but have like a challenge more recently. Mercedes have been dominant, but are quite poor at the moment. Either way, I think you're looking at like 2 years before, like you're not, this year you're not challenging. Next year, I don't think you'd be challenging. You're looking at the year after that before either of them give you a package that can win. It's then whether Lewis says to himself, the legacy of Ferrari and the idea of being a hero in Italy as well is something that appeals to me and bringing a title to Ferrari. And I think that would genuinely be on his mind. He's won enough titles at Mercedes and a lot of people do have that ideology of like, yo, I want to bring a title to Ferrari.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you do? Because for me, I would probably just bond the Jake's. I would just go to Ferrari and just chance it. Why not?
Well, you know? When we were talking about Leclerc, the Leclerc rumors to Mercedes, I was saying like, if I'm going to back a team, I'm going to back Mercedes because they've got the more recent proof of delivery. Now, yes, right now, I would say the Ferrari is the quicker car of the two. Maybe Mercedes is pretty much level on race pace.
Yeah.
Ferrari's a bit more hard on its tyres, but Ferrari's definitely clear in qualifying and that helps. Look, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It's who's catching Red Bull. It's who's closing that 0.5% gap, which is significant to Red Bull.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I get the legacy point of view. For me, the move doesn't make sense. It only makes sense for Lewis. The only way I'd see Lewis even contemplating it is if it's to, if Mercedes snap up Leclerc, which I would understand if they were to do that because of how much younger Charles is and how much he's proven and how like long-standing he will be. If Mercedes go to snap up Leclerc, then if I'm Lewis, I'm definitely going in that alongside Carlos Sainz because he will be quicker than Sainz. I've got no doubt in my mind
about
that.
He would beat Sainz.
Yeah.
He'd be the number one driver there at the very least, you know.
If you want a challenge for a title, you need a 1-2.
Yeah.
If you've got Max and Checo, like, yes, Checo's done a great job this year, but Max, like, still, over the course of a season, he like, I've got no doubt he will win the title, right? So if you're up against that, you can't have you can't have Leclerc and Hamilton in the same team. That's mad.
Oh, you can though, man.
You're not going to win the title though.
Yeah, you can.
Why? Explain.
You can.
You can't just say
you can. No, just the vibes, man. Think about
how?
It. They'll make that
how?
Sweet, it sweet
happen.
Music. It'll make like tensions will stay low because they'll be like, if you've listened to
chilled out.
You've listened to Charles' music. It's very sort of piano oriented. Yeah. You know, if there's any sort of drama or any sort of beef during a race, just wheel out the grand piano, get the Yamaha out, and just like, and Charles just starts playing. You live in. It'll be fine. He'll get over it. It'll be all good. No, genuinely, I do hear what you're saying because ultimately, when you have two number ones, they end up taking points off each other and someone else can just sneak through and if they were in a 1-2 situation, they can take more points off both of them collectively.
Even right now, Alonso is only like 30 points behind Perez, which is like, that's one DNF. Like, so you get one race, right, where the Red Bulls DNF, for example, and Alonso picks up the win. One race, and we've had five already. One race, and he's caught up to him already.
Yeah.
Compared to, because it's 7 points between P1 and 2. So if you're taking points off of each other, that's the thing. You can only afford to do that. Red Bull can afford to do that now because their car's clear. Mercedes could afford to do that in 2014.
Yeah.
Because their car was clear.
It's different to the sort of like, because the example we gave before was the Ferrari's fighting. Oh, no, sorry. It was the McLaren's fighting and then Kimi just came out of nowhere and won in 2007,
precise.
Right?
Yep.
But obviously, the one thing about that example is different point system and also like far less races as well. I feel like now, if you have a car that's good enough to win the title, you will win it 99 times out of 100 because there are so many opportunities to claim back the points that you might lose on one weekend. You know, 22 races. Even if you DNF like twice, if you have two double DNFs, you've got 20 other Grand Prix
to make that
up. Whereas you might have only had like 13.
Each race is a bit less meaningful in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you've got 22 versus, what, it's 19 back then. And it was, 10 points for a win?
Yeah.
And only the top eight got points, I think that was, in 2007. Yeah, that plays into it.
This whole situation, the only reason, I don't take it seriously because it just seems so weird and so ridiculous for Lewis Hamilton to be driving a Ferrari. Like, that just seems crazy to me.
Yeah.
But also, I need to see that. I genuinely think it would work.
I'd love to see it.
If Ferrari could actually get themselves together, close that 0.5%, I genuinely think you could see Ferrari, at the very least, like, beat Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship if they were on a similarly level playing field rather than the 30 seconds they have in hand in a race at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just whether then Lewis would work with Charles as a teammate.
Yeah, I mean, I think, that's the thing. It depends if that car was competitive. If it was,
the thing is, either way, Lewis is going to get a clashing horns situation anyway, because if he stays at Mercedes and George Russell is there, they are very equal too.
True.
So either way, you've got like a two number one driver situation.
Yeah. And I guess that's where the idea of a Ferrari move becomes appealing if it is to replace Leclerc.
Mm.
But again, that would have to come from Mercedes' angle for me. Rather than, it wouldn't make sense to swap.
Yeah, I think it would have to be them to orchestrate it, really.
Yeah, exactly.
If they managed to convince Charles, like, yo, come Mercedes, and then that left Lewis in a place where, okay, I'll go Ferrari then. I think that's more likely than him, than the other way around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're audio only, you can comment in some way, shape, or form. Then let us know, what would you do if you were Lewis Hamilton?
The knee injury is really playing.
Oh,
today,
is it? Oh, man. I like them jeans, by the way, man. The people were missing out.
Yeah, we've
got the cord, actually.
Yeah, we've got the
corduroy boys.
Corduroy boys.
There we go. Oh, rip.
The Roy boys.
All right. Another driver I want to talk about, and we've talked about him a bit recently. We've kind of dipped in and out, but Liam Lawson won another Super Formula race yesterday, which puts him P1 in the Super Formula Championship.
E1.
Two wins, a P5
slow
and a P4.
Button on.
Well, not, he's not very slow button right now.
A quick button on.
He's anything but the 20. Yeah. 21, he's 21 as well.
Yeah, he's another driver that just seems like he's been around for fucking ages. I know he's... Has he done two seasons of F2 or was it three?
He has, he's done two.
He did two, because the second one... It was kind of like a late surge. I didn't watch much Formula 2 last season, I'll be totally honest with you. But when I remember watching a few races, I think it was like, I think I watched the Baku weekend of F2 last year. I remember watching him and being like, he should be like challenging for race wins like all the time. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I was sort of like, maybe he's not the guy. But then as the season came and sort of progressed, he ended up taking third in the championship.
He got third ahead of Sargent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I would expect at the very least in your second season in F2, if you're going to get into F1.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's ticked a box there in terms of like being, you know, good enough to party. And it was a good field last year as well. It's a good field again this year. But yeah, he has gone off and slapped it. I think the thing I'm most impressed with him, and you've got his record there, we'll go through it in a second, but he is so versatile. Like, he's driven and he's done well in DTM. He's slapping it in Super Formula in his first season around tracks that he's definitely never driven at before. And, you know, he's good in F2 as well. So,
first rookie to ever win on Super Formula debut.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever?
Ever. In the modern Super Formula Championship.
That's mental.
Is the first.
It's been going for ages as well.
Yeah. So, it's
he's the guy.
It's a good sign. And again, look, there's been years where Red Bull haven't had a plethora of really strong options. So, I think when... Well, again, like...
Even 2 years ago,
the
really.
The dominoes of like Ricciardo leaving, that meant Gasly moved up. That meant they had to bring Kvyat back because they got rid of Hartley, and Albon was going to go Formula E. And so they were just like...
They were scrambling.
We literally rejected Alex and we got rid of Kvyat twice and we're going to bring him back again.
Twice, like, yeah.
But now it's like... And I guess you could argue, okay, maybe if Liam had won F2 last year, he would have been a bit of a shoe-in.
He would have got the seat, I think.
He didn't, but when you look at, I mean, literally, right, I was on the way down, I was looking at Lawson's record.
Yeah.
And it's not one of many wins, but...
It's in championship wins, right?
So, yeah, exactly. So Australian F4, second.
Yep.
German F4, second. Euro Formula, second. Toyota Racing Series, first and second.
Right.
In 2 years in a row.
Okay, yeah.
Then... P5 and F3, and then P3 and F2, second in DTM, and currently leading.
Man, he's always the bridesmaid. And this is the thing.
This is the thing. Yeah, it might be always the bridesmaid, right? But motorsport's weird, right? Mm. Engines break, people take you out, you make mistakes.
Well, DTM,
whatever.
Yeah, he got wiped out. He was going to win the championship.
Mm, I know, right? Less said about that, the better. But being consistent, being up there, being fighting for a championship every single year, that doesn't happen very often.
That is, it's impressive levels of consistency from that perspective.
So yes, he's only got one championship win of all of these Toyota Racing Series, but he's always up there. And again, it's like, you look at numbers and you look at point scoring and you look at championship wins, right? And you lose that context over time. It just becomes a number on a Wikipedia page, right? But the record he's setting, the standards he's setting, Super Formula is the closest to F1. It's closer than F2.
Speed.
Closer, closer than IndyCar. In terms of similarity, in terms of downforce as well.
Yep.
Like in terms of the speed you can do around corners.
Like tracks that you go to as well.
Yeah, man. Like Japan's got great, like they were just at Autopolis. They've got Fuji, Suzuka, like Motegi. There's so many amazing tracks in Japan that challenge you in so many different ways. And it just feels like, you know, we've talked about this before with Ricciardo potentially getting that seat because it's not looking good for Nick.
Like, he's not, is it?
Well, I mean, this is... obviously, it's so early. And I don't think we would be talking about Nick like this if it wasn't a Red Bull-related seat. But this is just how Red Bull operate. I think if he was driving for Williams, we're not having this conversation. We're not saying, oh, he's been... We're saying he's been below average, but we're not saying he's going to get replaced. And that's a big if and but and maybe and whatever. But I think the only reason...
That is part of it.
Part of the reason we're having this conversation is because of how Red Bull operate. But it is true. They're not afraid to just go, yeah, look, you're not good enough. Helmut's given him the yellow card already, bro. We're at round five.
We've had five, yeah. And
that's an early booking.
He's got one fewer race before mid-season as well. Mid-season is typically when we've seen, you know, it makes sense to have it as a mid-season change.
Because you can integrate it a little bit easier rather than just flinging someone in between a one-week break. Nick is not helping himself, man. It's simple mistakes. It's a lot of accidents as well he's getting involved in, you know, running into the back of Lando at Miami. It just going off on his own at Baku, mistakes during practice sessions and qualifying, just general poor pace.
Again,
Yuki slapping it.
He's not a junior.
He wasn't even there sweeping the streets with Yuki, man. At least get brownie points. Do you know what I mean? Well, unless he was, maybe.
Maybe he was wrong. Maybe he was.
Don't quote me on that.
But I think the thing is with De Vries, he's 28.
Yeah.
He's 2.5 years older than Leclerc. Yeah. Like, the expectations are different. Like, you can't just be a rookie. Some rookies have had experience enough of, like, he's had tons of experience.
Yeah, he's actually got to go. Like, so I've just realised.
No, if the results don't improve, why would Red Bull keep hold of him?
Yeah.
Like, I know it sounds harsh. Like, I understand, but this isn't charity. Yeah. This is motorsport. And, like, this is an opportunity. You can say it's unfair on Nick. I disagree. If you can do up to mid-season, that'll be 12 races and be a 28-year-old with F2 champion, Formula E champion, and you can't get up to that level.
You can't challenge Yuki even once because that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, he's out-qualified him once.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, in terms of races, he's been
in the race as well.
He had that race in Williams last year. He's tested pretty much a practice session every single Mercedes-powered car on the grid. Like, if you can't do that by mid-season, then isn't that just unfair on a Lawson or unfair on a Ricciardo maybe?
Yeah.
To like not, you know, it's not, for someone to have a seat, someone else has to not have a seat. There's only 20 seats in Formula One.
And it's a dog eat dog world, man. It's hard to get into Formula One. There's only 20 seats. So if you get there and you're not proving that you're good enough for the job, look, the game's the game, man.
I maintain that I think from a value proposition point of view, let Liam do the rest of this season in Super Formula, get Ricciardo in that seat up against Yuki, see what Yuki's really made of against an established known entity.
Yeah, that's a big Ricciardo test will as well, be I think, for Yuki as well.
Yeah, that's where the value is. But also, you know, you look at junior career, right? Yes, Max Verstappen was a freak, right? Because he got to F1 and was 17, yeah? And he got the jump up straight from F3. He didn't even win F3. He was behind Ocon.
Yeah, he didn't do GP3 either. Right? Or GP2.
No. Euro F3. He went straight up, right? But if Red Bull want a future-proof, like a driver that's ticking all the boxes like Lawson is, they gave Max the chance because they were worried about losing him to Mercedes. That's why they got him in so quickly.
Mm.
Like, do Red Bull have to do the same here with Lawson? Because it is looking like very good.
I think if you're Lawson, for me, if you don't get a chance in this car this season, you got to evaluate your options a little bit.
Yeah.
Because for me, he's impressed enough in any category that he's been in for another team, even like a, this is just off the top of my head, but like a Williams to go,
he's solid. Mm. Rate him, whatever. Get him in the car. Alpine, whatever. Like, someone else would probably go for Liam Lawson. He's 21. If he's 24,
yeah,
I'd be
yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay, it's probably a different story. But 21 is young still.
Yeah.
You know, we were spoiled a little bit when, and like, it's changed everyone's expectations when Max Verstappen got his seat. But at the end of the day, more time, you still probably get your debut in Formula One when you're like 22, 23.
Yeah.
So to be 21 and being this impressive, yeah, like, you've got to imagine as Red Bull, someone else would want to go for him if you pass up the opportunity. Then for Red Bull as well, they've got so many Red Bull juniors. They've got so many juniors at the moment. Wass is leading. Is he still leading F2? I think he lost the lead, didn't he, the last
Yeah,
last
he's not round. Leading now, but he's still right at the sharp.
But it felt like he was unlucky. Did he break down or something at Baku?
He just didn't have a great weekend. It just wasn't an amazing.
I mean, everyone was binning it, but
yeah, that was a super like difficult. He's won two races this year.
Yeah.
He's the only driver alongside Behrmann who's won two. So yeah, they've got options. You're right. They've definitely got options. I think Red Bull, it's a good problem to have for them.
Yeah.
But I do also think, you know, you look at Lawson's trajectory, he could be the real deal, and giving him half of a season gives him maybe a low pressure environment. Yuki's doing so well. He wouldn't be expected to come in and beat Yuki.
Yeah.
It gives him a low pressure environment to get on top of it.
Yeah.
And maybe he could, you don't know in years time, right? Yeah. Max's trajectory was mad, and we will never see anything like that again. Like, legally we can't, because it's written into the rules. Yes. You can't when you're 17.
Yeah.
It's not allowed. But you look at Leclerc, he's like, he won, you know, one F3, one F2, like GP3, sorry. And like, you know, he took that more kind of
conventional
approach, and now he is every bit as quick as Max Verstappen. Like, I'd say Max is a bit more complete driver. I think Leclerc's quicker over a lap. Like, there's not just this one trajectory to be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Be able to emulate what Max and Lewis and Vettel and Charles and all these drivers have done.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he could be the... It gives them a problem, and it gives Nick DeVries a
big
problem. Yeah.
Who was the guy who lent him the money as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the race. Did he lose that case, I think?
DeVries was fine out of that. Yeah.
DeVries was apparently... He got a loan from someone who worked at a bank or something.
Yeah.
And then he had to pay a certain amount back if he got a seat in Formula One before a certain point. He technically did a race for Williams during that time, but it wasn't like a actual contractual drive.
He tried to finesse him, basically.
If after all of that, he gets kicked out of AlphaTauri before the season ends, then I, as the judge of F1 YouTube,
Judge Jerry,
will make him pay to that guy anyway. Because that's just a load of hassle for no reason.
You're gonna
that
be
guy's
like,
gone through legal
you're
costs.
You're going to lawyer up. You're going to be the lawyer.
I'm going to be the judge. I'm not the lawyer.
Oh,
someone
the
else can be the lawyer.
Oh,
that's fine. I'll be the judge, though.
You are a multi-talented man here.
Boom. That's it. He's done.
Look, and again, you might say it's unfair, but you get 12 races, and with his experience, you expect better. I hope he improves. You know, he seems like a sound bloke, but like,
he's got to do better.
Do we think he'd? What would you go, Ricciardo or Lawson? As of today,
The thing is, I love giving new drivers the chance. This is the thing. I'm gonna give it to Lawson, man. I want Daniel Ricciardo back in the sport to some capacity, but I don't really see what the point is of him being here if it's just in an AlphaTauri. No offense to AlphaTauri, but no, actually, no, half offense to AlphaTauri. I just don't.
Half offense, man.
They've gone through a lot this week, so I don't want to pile on, you know, too much. But yeah, like, at the end of the day, like, they're not a quick car. It's not a quick car.
No.
I don't want to see Daniel Ricciardo fighting for P12 again, to be honest. As much as, yeah, I want to see it, but I don't want to see him there for the sake of it, man. I'd rather see a new driver get that seat and get an opportunity than see Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah,
get called washed again for two more years.
Yeah, you feel like once one domino falls, then everything else will fall into place. This is kind of like when Vettel retired and then everything just went insane.
Yeah, it went mental. Yeah. So someone just take one for the team, man. Yeah. Someone retire.
Someone get the ball rolling, please.
Like, just stop being selfish. Hang up your gloves, yeah, and just call it a day.
Right, Niren. It's time.
We need to talk
about the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah,
mate.
We've got Monaco coming up next, boy. And
because we don't see eye to eye on this.
No.
Because I feel like after we agree, but this one we very much don't.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you: is Monaco the most boring event on the F1 calendar?
Oh, event! You see, you've worded that in a different way. Because is it the most boring race? Absolutely, of course it is. As an event, yeah, cool, there's some glitz and glamour. You can go casino if you want during the race because it's shit, but there's lots of things to do. Monaco has this prestige. It's very unique. It's very different. There's no other track on the calendar like Monaco. But as if we're talking about a pure race, yeah, it just is. The idea of Monaco is just overrated. If we talk about Ferrari as legacy merchants, Monaco has to be the ultimate legacy merchant of a track.
I mean,
because the only way you get interesting racing at Monaco is if there's rain or Maldonado's about. That's it. I watched the highlights for 2008 yesterday.
Oh yeah,
because they did that premiere on YouTube, yeah. And I just had it on in the background. I was like, oh, I don't remember. I actually forgot this race was a thing, so I wanted to remind myself, and it was pretty decent. But that's because it pissed it down the whole race. Any race where there's rain, any track can be interesting if there's rain involved and there's wet, changeable conditions or whatever. But just for me, like, you know, if at the end of the day, if a friend of mine was like, yo, I want to get into Formula One, it looks interesting, and the next Grand Prix was Monaco, I would say, I come back next week, bro. Don't worry about it. Put the football on. And I don't think there's another track on the... Actually, no, Spain. There's only one other track on the calendar I would do that for.
France? I mean, France is gone now.
Yeah, France is gone now.
France was all right, actually, to be fair. It wasn't actually...
It was all right. They just couldn't direct it properly.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Look. Right. First of all, I think you need to look at... The reason I say event over race, right?
Yeah.
You need to look at it in its totality. Otherwise, what's the point in broadcasting qualifying? You never used to broadcast qualifying back in the day. It looks just the race. Right. I mean, you have to go a long way back, to be fair. But you have to look at qualifying as part of it, right? Now, I agree that it's not great. My thing is that a couple of small changes, I think, would make it mad. Like, mad good. I do.
Right. What are these changes? If you're running the FIA right now, yeah?
Yeah.
It's everything, the whole thing sponsored by the Tomo YouTube channel. All the barriers are pink. Yeah. What would you do? I think that would look cold.
That would look sick.
That brand new looks like. What are you doing to change the Monaco Grand Prix? Across the whole weekend. Doesn't just have to be the race.
You only need to facilitate, how many changes? So there's going to be... there's going to be one change to qualifying and one change to the race. That's it.
We're also banning practice as well. That's my change.
Yeah, I mean, practice at Monaco is just a bit like, how much do you actually
feels redundant. We've all been here before. We've all driven the track.
And you can't...
On an F1 game, like, do you know what I mean?
And it's such an unusual track. You know, you get like a different bloody steering rack just to get around the hairpin, the roundabout.
So let's get rid of that for a start.
Right. You know what? Like, so there are changes you could make to the track to improve it, but I'm saying, like, realistically, things they could do, they could literally do it. They're just rule changes that they could do now. They could just do it done, right? So qualifying... One shot. They already do a different format for F2 in qualifying.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that because they change it for F2 anyway.
Yeah, F2,
you've got halves, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because of people shunting and ruining everyone else's lap. And all as well. If you do one shot, there's no shunting to ruin someone else's lap. There's no, oh no, I understood. Oh, whoops. I.e. Michael Schumacher
and Rosberg.
Nico Rosberg.
That was pretty funny though, to be fair.
Sergio Perez. Sorry.
Bad cough there.
Right. Yeah. So you don't get any of that nonsense, right? Because it is annoying. Monaco's sick at quality. Like, a full tilt lap at Monaco is unreal, right? Because of the danger, because of how close you are to the walls. But when someone shunts, it is bare annoying.
Yeah.
So
that's it. The thing is as well with Monaco, I feel like you do get that sort of anti-climax of a qualifying session so frequently because that just happens. You're pushing on the limit.
It should be great.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's sometimes, but more often than not, it's not quite as great as it should be.
I think what they should do, this doesn't really get rid of the traffic issue. I was about to say whether they should maybe just do one shot when it gets to the actual shootout top 10 for Q3. But obviously you still then get the crazy traffic in Q1 and Q2, which is a bit of a problem, which I do hear.
The traffic is just nonsense, like the amount of times people get their laps ruined by traffic, and it's like
you can't get around someone in Monaco.
No,
you know, anywhere else there's a bit of traffic, like
you can't get out of the way either.
Yeah, there's a wall here and there's a wall here. You can't just drive off the track or like get out of the way
exactly
as easily.
So that would solve more problems than it would create. Don't get me wrong, it's not perfect, right? But no situation. But I think that ticks just for Monaco. It's fine. It's all good, right? That for qualifying, boom, race, mandate two stop. Straight away, you're adding way more strategy. You're adding way more different approaches. Maybe it is mandate
tire compound, though, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think that. If everyone, because if you just go, let's just add another stop in, everyone will still do the same strategy. So I think if you just say, right, cool, everyone's got to use hard, soft, and medium for an entire Grand Prix, because you will ultimately then get someone who's on the hard tyres meet someone who's on the soft tyres or whatever, and there's a bit of a battle going on.
I'm cool with that.
Okay,
that's fine. Because then you're more likely to get that. Yeah, like you say, if you've got a hard tyre and a soft tyre, there is a chance for maybe an overtake because there's such a delta between those two tyres. You know what I mean?
I think for me, Monaco, yeah. For me, you just have to go full. This isn't like any other track mode. Just start fucking it up. Start fucking up the base.
I agree to an extent. What are you trying to say?
No, just do mad shit with the race. Drive changes halfway through or something. You know how like Bathurst at the V8 Supercars Le Mans, or I'm not saying make it a fucking 24-hour race. Obviously, that would be even worse.
Team principal drives for a lap.
Just start doing crazy shit with it. Because I think if
Otmar in the Alpine.
Yes.
That would be
Zach
a vibe.
Brown just
Otmar used to race.
Really?
Yeah, he used to race like Formula Ford in like America.
So. I don't know if I've asked this question before. Who wins out of a team principal race?
Oh,
Toto Wolff might, because he used to actually race.
Christian used Horner to race
as well.
And then he was like, I'm not good enough, so I'm going to start a team.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what?
Respect. I think Toto Wolff did that as well. I think he was just like, you know what, lads?
Ooh.
Not actually a driver here. I'm going to cut my losses and start managing the team instead.
Kinner at the wheel. Gooder at the wheel.
Gunther Steiner's team radio would be mental.
I reckon Mike Crack is a
crazy name, by the way.
Is like a dark
His
horse.
His parents have got questions to answer. That's criminal.
Accountability is important.
You gotta understand. In that.
No, I think Otmar would win. Fuck it.
Otmar would win.
Goal in Otmar.
Toto is a bit too tall as well, isn't he? It's aerodynamically, it wouldn't work. I think
We got a bit sidetracked there, didn't we?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, no, but this is what I'm saying. You should genuinely have, I think it's all in good Formula One going, oh yeah, this is the crown jewel of the calendar or like whatever. But like, what cool, will they make it that?
Yeah.
Don't just go, oh yeah, it's prestigious.
You must love it because it's really old.
Because it's bare old. Well, no, just
well, it's not
make
your
it.
Nan. Like it's
calm, all nans, they're very lovable. Yeah. But at the same time, like, you know, She might need a stairlift.
Give
the track some assistance. In becoming the event that it could
it's
be.
A great analogy, Niren.
So
what I'm saying is, like, if they made the changes that I've proposed here, would you endorse Monaco more than you currently.
I would endorse Monaco more than I currently. Yes, yeah, I would. I would. I would be a lot less of a hater because, again, I love the challenge of Monaco. I like the idea of Monaco because it's so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And as a driver, you've got to be the pinnacle of the pinnacle, the best of the best to win there, to even finish a race there, whatever, especially if the conditions are changeable or whatever. But just as a spectacle for the fans, I just don't think it's enough to just keep going, oh, yeah, it's bare prestigious, it's bare old. That's fine, but if for 6 years in a row we just watch a procession where we all know the racing order on the Saturday is basically how this is going to finish, that's what they always say. The points are basically handed out on a Saturday. I hear Crofty say that every year.
And this is
that's not how it should be.
If you mandate those additional pit stops, you add more potential for pit crews to fuck up, which happens all the time. I mean, look at Bottas with his, 14-day pit stop that he had at Monaco.
Yeah. Like Ricciardo had that as well.
And Leclerc double stacking Ferrari. Shenanigans.
He just doubles the mystery just straight off the bat because you've got double the pit stops.
Yeah, it's not artificially, it's because it's pit stops. That's part of the sport.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I'm not against, that whole tire compound. I'm not against mandating that across the entire calendar, but at least let's fucking trial it at Monaco.
Yeah,
let's
give it you're going to trial it anywhere, if you want to do that as an idea, I think Monaco is the best place to trial it because I think if you get decent racing at Monaco, you'll get unbelievable racing everywhere else.
Yeah, because look, Monaco's never going to be a wheel-to-wheel spectacle. You can't expect it to be that.
It's quite literally not even wide enough for that.
But it's a different challenge. It's like sometimes we've got street circuits. Sometimes we've got classic tracks that all tracks have their own niche and their own thing. And I just think Monaco could be sick. Stefano, I know you're watching camera one.
Yeah.
Please, I swear to fucking God, please change it to one shot quality. Just try it. Just give it a go, right?
I'm here
just
for at least give that,
it a
by
go.
The way.
They love giving shit a go. Just fucking give it a go. We'll just change the rule 2 days before the race. Yeah, come, that's fine. Do it. Fucking change it.
Do it when it's actually going to be entertaining for once.
Please.
Don't just change the rule book out of nowhere.
Please. Make it fucking happen. Sorry, I'm sick
of... Get off your chest. I'm sick of defending Monaco, man.
I'm sick of defending it. Because I know it could be sick. And that's why you can't axe it, man. Because it's the potential for it to be this incredible event that's so unique amongst the rest of the calendar is so strong.
It's just, it is there.
Fucking do it! Oh, sorry, I need a minute.
I fucking hear it, man, honestly. Just please. Please.
Well, because this kind of segues on nicely to another point I wanted to talk about. And I want to shout out Formula Dino on Twitter for I met Formula Dino actually at my live show.
Yeah.
And good guy. And I want to talk about the comparisons to back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Because, say 2008 Monaco, it was pretty good by Monaco standards. The race that Dino was referencing was 2005 Imola.
Yeah,
which is a race it's heralded as being this amazing race. Schumacher, Alonso, wheel to wheel, right? But actually, in practice, there were nine overtakes all race.
Single figure overtakes. So what you wanted to get off your chest about changing Monaco, yeah? And what I'd also kind of got off my... I want to get this off my chest, yeah?
Come on.
Stop
with chest.
Fucking, yeah, saying the races were good back in the day because the engines sounded nice. Can we please stop doing that?
Yeah, stop checking the past, man.
Please, because like you said, 9 overtakes... Who cares? And the thing is, if it was, I know why it's heralded as because it was Alonso v. Michael Schumacher, and it's a great example of unreal defensive driving. I totally get that. And it was almost this up and comer versus the already established name, calm. The storyline and the context to it is great. But why the fuck do we say that these are good races? They're not. They weren't even alongside each other at any point. It's not like it was a battle. Michael Schumacher just followed him for laps in the dirty air. Calm. The engine sounded nice. The cars looked good and the drivers are iconic. But the actual racing was shit.
Yeah.
I saw this last year. Someone shared a race at Magny-Cours, the old track in France, obviously. And it was, I think it was 2003 or something like that, whatever. And it was this is proper racing, no DRS, da da da. Bro, there were 8 overtakes. Do you know how many laps there used to be at that track? 8 across the whole race. That's criminal.
Yeah.
And I know not every
element of not everything in a race is to do with overtaking.
Of course, no.
You know, we've had some races where there's technically 50 overtakes, but there's none that are at the top of the order.
Miami was like 60.
Yeah, and whilst it was better than what we've had this race, it was better than what we've had this season, wasn't a classic.
No, it wasn't a classic, because, but it was a good race.
Yeah, because, you know, the...
But this is the thing, the reason it's not a classic is because there wasn't a battle at the front.
Yeah.
There's 20 drivers on the fucking grid, there's not two.
You know,
it's not just about what's happening at the front, man.
But the best part is, these races...
Piss me off.
These races were meant to be called an iconic. They don't even have battles at the front either. The French one literally didn't have one. Yes, Alonso and Schumacher, calm. They followed each other around for 30 laps. It's not a battle. It's not... Realistically, if you went back and watched that race, the only reason you're saying it's good is because of nostalgia. And I don't want to hear anything different.
Yeah.
Because you're not watching it and going, oh my God, that is... unbelievable overtaking or crazy racing. They're on the limit, they're on the edge. Absolutely, I get that.
Mm.
Everyone's on the limit and on the edge all the time.
Yeah.
The cars are skating around a bit more because they, you know, they're not as like the downforce isn't whatever, da da da. And it looks a lot better because it's just back in the day. I completely get that.
And the cars are a lot smaller, so they look more nimble.
Yeah, I totally get it from like a nostalgia perspective and aesthetically looking great. But with going back and saying that's a golden era of Formula One because of the entertainment is just not correct. I'm sorry. Yeah. And I'm not going to hear otherwise because it just wasn't.
The tin, the rose tin is like, is mad. Like,
yeah.
When you think about how, I mean, even like,
would you rather, based off principle, get a shit race now, but there's no DRS, so it's not manufactured? Or would you rather get a good race, but it's got DRS?
Obviously.
You'd rather have a good race. I want to be entertained. I don't want to sit here and go, morally speaking, this race wasn't as manufactured as that. I want to sit down and be entertained.
I'm sorry, right? If you plugged DRS into that 2005 Imola Schumacher Alonso battle, it would have been so much better.
Schumacher would have won, probably, because he was quicker than Alonso at the time.
Scrap.
But they would have at least had you would have had an iconic overtake of some kind. You would have had I don't know. I mean, people watch F1 for different reasons. People like certain races for certain reasons. If you enjoyed that race because of Alonso's defensive display, fine, because that was impressive.
I could enjoy that in isolation.
But if you're saying that it's entertaining... Because
if you said
it
that's
was
a great race,
that just can't.
Because the camera's just following them two, like, because no one else is doing anything. Because the entire rest of the grid, this
the
is what I mean.
The field spread was so big back then as well.
Yeah, man.
Like when I was watching this Monaco race yesterday, I think we were like there was a safety car about 10 laps in because someone binned it. I can't remember who it was. Someone binned it, and it was a safety car about 10 laps in. The gap between second and third was 13 seconds.
Mm.
Hamilton got a puncture after like 15 laps and pitted and came out fourth.
Mm.
How? Mm. That doesn't even make... When I saw that, I was like, I remember thinking, oh man, he's got a puncture. He's going to be like 16th when he comes out. Nah, he was fourth.
Mm.
He was still there. And then the safety car came out and he was back in fourth at like next to the leaders again. I was like, this is crazy. I don't know. I feel like there is a massive element of rose tinted glasses for that era because of how amazing everything looked.
Yeah.
How iconic the drivers were.
The Murray really Walker commentary.
Yeah, man, I get it. I have it as well.
This is the generation
amazing,
we grew up with, right?
Yeah.
Like we should be more than anyone.
And those
like,
seasons
oh,
as a whole,
back then.
The culminations of them were great. And you had less shit tracks as well. That's what I will say.
Oh,
every
yeah.
track felt like an iconic track. The endings of the seasons for like that whole era were fucking mental.
Cars were more unreliable as well.
True, yeah.
So then
there was
you
a lot more of a lottery. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which, again, it's like... What do we then artificially make these cars more unreliable? No. The thing is, as the cars get more reliable, as the drivers get better, the standard of the drivers gets better.
Yeah.
Because everyone's now a world champion in some form, has won a championship in some way, shape or form. That wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like the standard of F1 drivers right now. Again, whether Ocon thinks it's 0.2 between everyone, like maybe, I don't know. Like, as the standard of drivers gets better, as the standard of the cars and the lack of, you know, they're not going to break down as much as the safety of the cars get bigger. You need something like DRS. Like I've kind of gone back and forth with DRS. There was a point where I was like, maybe we should get rid of it. But actually, no. Active aero, which is what DRS is, needs to be a part of Formula Racing.
Yeah.
It needs to be, because otherwise they can't follow, they can't overtake. And that's exactly, that's what I say. Like if you plug DRS onto these old cars in the 90s, you would have got a bit more scrapping. You would still got a massive field spread.
Mm.
But I just think that this generation, and particularly like this season, he's getting a bit of a shit rap, right? And I get it. We've not got a fight at the front. And of course, I have more than, as much as anyone, I want to see a scrap at the front. That's going to make a race more iconic. If you've got a scrap for 13th place is never going to be remembered. But it's still, if it's a quality scrap for 13th place, I want to see it.
And the thing is as well, you weren't even guaranteed to get scraps for wins back then either. 0-2, Michael Schumacher won the championship in July. Bro.
The summer.
The height of summer. He went Ibiza afterwards. That's crazy. That's absolutely mental. Winning a championship in July. I know there were less races, but he won it in France. Like, that is insane. Like, Max Verstappen, if Max Verstappen won the championship this year in July,
yeah,
we would go, okay, we've got to seriously sort out Formula One. This is mental.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that era gets away with things. On the flip side, you know, playing devil's advocate, I know the concerns that people have about DRS, and that's that it makes overtaking too easy.
Mm-hmm.
To an extent, you can just rock up to the back of someone, and then it's a pretty boring in a straight line. But I mean, a lot of the moves at Baku, for example, you just blitz past someone in a mm-hmm. straight line. It's not exactly difficult to pull out and overtake. It's not hard to an extent. But I think all it needs is balancing. You know, I think all you need is like genuine testing at these tracks to go, right, how long should a DRS zone be so that it's just enough where you can make an overtake, get alongside, but it's not enough to just be able to just blitz past anyone you like as soon as you can. And I think that's not really done to a good enough degree in Formula One half the time. I think sometimes you do end up getting to tracks and either the DRS zone's way too short so it doesn't do anything, which can't help sometimes. But all the DRS zone is way too long. And then you just get overtakes for the sake of it. And I don't agree with that. That's the one thing I do have a problem with when it comes to DRS.
Look, I'm not saying by far and away, like, I'm not saying the system's perfect. I actually think, I would like to see DRS change where you still pick it up within a second.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as you move ahead of the car,
It switches off.
Yeah. Because you've got that, still got that momentum that you've picked up from the DRS.
Yeah, but then now all it's of not a sudden, quite as, yeah, now there's,
yeah.
Now you, it's put you in a position to battle.
Yeah.
That's what it should do.
Yeah.
Rather than put you in a position to just calmly overtake someone. For me. That's why it should be encouraging more.
The cars clearly have the technology because the drivers can only switch it on when they're within 1 second delta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as soon as that delta becomes 0.00, then it
switches off.
Closes,
yeah, exactly.
Closes.
Yeah. Like, that's actually really, I've never thought about that. That's actually quite cool. Think about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it's when you compare to like touring cars or whatever, right?
Mm.
Other series where there's not anywhere near the aerodynamics you get in Formula One. It's fine. You can go bumper to bumper, you go wheel to wheel. That's just not, unless we are going to move this away from open wheeler, which I don't want to do because I think that's an inherent part of what makes Formula One, Formula One.
Yeah, of course.
Like DNA of it, right?
Yeah.
And unless we're going to do that, you just have to accept we're going to, if you want good racing, you can't have it all. You can't have, not have the DRS and it be more pure, but then also have a really close wheel to wheel racing.
Yeah.
And ultimately that is what we all want first and foremost.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Surely. Good. But also again, for me, it's not just let's like, and I know the broadcast doesn't do a great job sometimes, although Monaco is going back to, they're not doing their own broadcast this year.
Oh, fuck.
Finally.
God's sake, it was so bad.
Because basically every year Monaco used to do their own broadcast and they had their own team.
Again, that had to go.
Hence
that,
why.
They had to, yeah, lunch.
Stroll. Yeah.
Yeah, just cut away.
Battling.
That was crazy.
Well, I mean, hopefully, yeah, it'd be much better now. But yeah, but that's just like, seeing the fucking, I don't know, Magnussen and Leclerc scrapping in Miami. Well, that's Tsunoda.
And this is the thing, you do still get good moves. Like Tsunoda at Miami, crazy. And I still maintain that Stroll move around the outside at Jeddah.
Mm.
That's the best move of the season. That was unreal
on
the first lap. So you can still get these good battles. You can still get these amazing overtakes. I think, like, you're right though. Like, just, I feel like we've got a little bit too comfortable with how DRS operates. I think maybe switching it to a system where it gets you to a point where you are alongside and you are battling, but not just breezing past in an overtake is the next generation of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that would then give you a lot more battles rather than zoom going past.
And again, it's important to remember that, you know, Red Bull have made an unreal car and they are clear of the rest. So, of course, when Max is pulling these DRS overtakes, it's going to look, and like when he went past Lewis in Australia, like, it's not going to look good. But then when you add the context of, yeah, Lewis went like a second slower in that sector anyway, because he was saving, he was like, what's the point of defending? Mm. And, you know, the fact that Red Bull's just a really, like, great car, I just think a combination of a bit more patience with the regulations, I do believe that it's going to, it's the best we can realistically hope for. And it was always going to take at least 2 years for any kind of, you know, meritocracy field spread to kind of develop because of the historical, you know, like the big teams were spending tons. And it's, it's no surprise that like Ferrari, Mercedes and Red Bull are at the top still because, you know, 2019 was when this was announced. So they've been working on it since then, you know?
Exactly. So all in all, moral of the story, please stop saying that shit races from the past were amazing. What I will say is, I do still, of course, have an affinity to that era. We all do. We grew up in that time.
Absolutely, man.
Please fucking bring back deliveries. Oh my God, those cars look lame back.
Yeah, what? Okay, yeah.
That's what I will say. Yeah. Aesthetically, that era was sick.
Obviously, the sound of the cars was a lot better.
Cool. But that's going to be... The engine sounds are going to change again in 2026, right?
In the new half hybrid, half electric.
Hopefully, we'll get better sounding cars again then, and that might, you know, you never know.
Yeah, maybe
solve the problem a little bit.
Yeah,
but please bring back the liveries. Oh my God.
Yeah,
they were cold.
Which ones come into mind?
Jaguar, straight off the bat. Jaguar. Orange arrows. Anything that's colourful. Jordan. Mm. The West McLaren.
Yeah, because that teams are a bit scared of colour now, aren't they?
man, just bare grey. I mean, I know all like weight loss and that. We don't want to paint the cars.
That shouldn't be so much of a thing, not from next season anyway.
Yeah, man. Because
everyone's down at the weight limit.
Bring back colours, please.
More colourful cars.
That's all I'm really asking for.
Yeah. More colourful
Williams
cars.
Just bring a pink car next year or something. Do you know what I mean?
Williams is, I wish it could be so good. Yeah, got so many iconic, more iconic. Bro, why are we not getting sick brands like we used to as well, sponsoring F1? Why have we not got Canon?
That happens everywhere.
Like, there's more money in F1 than ever. There's more value to having your brand in F1 than ever.
It's happening everywhere though. Like, again, I always go back to football as my like comparison point, but like football sponsors are not as good as they used to be.
No.
You know, you used to have like...
Martins, West Ham.
Doc Martins was literally what I was going to go with, West Ham. We had like Carlsberg.
Yeah.
Like you could buy a football kit and know whatever the item sponsor is... on the kit, you probably got it in your house somewhere.
Yeah.
O2, your phone network, like Carlsberg, you got it in the fridge. Doc Martens, you're wearing them, of thing. Whereas now it's all just like, I don't know, crypto sponsors and
things
like
that.
Yeah,
that's what
and
I mean.
Like, buying like betting companies.
Vodafone, man.
It's the same with Formula One. You'll just get like companies that are like...
Panasonic, that you still do stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like these companies have gone out of business.
No.
Like, they're still there.
Yeah.
You still have them. I don't know, maybe they just don't think...
And everyone's bigger than ever. That's what I mean. Like, it's bigger than ever. It's bigger than it's ever been in terms of audience. So in terms of...
You probably do, but do you know what Cognizant does?
I did a video on them, but you know what? I did a video on them, and they actually reached out to me after and was like, oh, would you like to do another video?
Sponsor.
I still don't really know what they did. Like, I can't remember, because it was so, like... just dry.
Yeah. These boring sort of like finance companies. Like, I'm like,
manage your workflow with systems and I'm just like,
shut up, man.
Like, why have we got all these boring brands? It's such a good point.
Yeah.
Like, bring back sick brands.
Yeah. I want to see like Sony on the Red Bull. Yeah.
Not saying like fuck tobacco brands. Like, okay, they're iconic, but I'm not interested in smoking being promoted in F1 fight. But like, there's just so many cool brands.
Just, yeah, man. Just interesting. There's got to be, because I'm thinking now, obviously, like, I guess technically you've got Red Bull, but that's just the whole team. Like, I'm thinking...
Red Bull's like a core... It's an energy drink.
It is an energy drink at the end of the day. But I'm actually trying to think what actual sponsor you've got on any car right now that you look at and go, oh my God, yeah, I might have that at home.
Like Duracell?
Oh, yeah. Duracell Williams. That's... I'm thinking of that Alpine. I can't even... Oh, BW... No, I can't even think of... honestly, yeah, but it's some water.
I'm 95%
really...
water, so I'd be...
Yeah, yes, that is true, yeah. So there's shouts out all the water companies. But yeah, I'm really trying to think, and I actually can't think of... Like, McLaren...
This is a cool
McLaren
direction.
Have got... Oh, Google Chrome. McLaren.
Yeah. Yeah, Chrome's cool.
But it's only on the wheels, and it looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't love it on the wheels.
Basically, yeah, just bring back the old sponsors and liveries, man.
Bring back classic sponsors.
That's what we've got to do.
All right. We don't hate the past, but, you know, in moderation.
In the past, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, man, should we wrap it?
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, good stuff, mate. Good fucking shit.
We've got a Monaco this weekend as well.
We have indeed, yeah. What are your predictions, by the way?
Well, I did see old Jano Otmir shared on Twitter this morning that there's rain forecast for Monaco.
Oh, interesting. So, okay, well, you see, now I'm interested again.
Be a long day, because remember last time it rained in Monaco? There was about 57 delays and we didn't think the race was going to go, then it did, then it didn't, yeah. And it ended up being quite a decent one, Monaco standard race. You know what, like Monaco's that one track where, you know, Red Bull struggles tire warm up and it's all about qualifying.
Yeah.
So if any team's not going to, if there's any race that Red Bull isn't going to win, it must surely be the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Because of how difficult it is to overtake.
Yeah. So you've got to maybe, I mean, Charles Leclerc is a bit cursed when he's driving at Monaco.
He has to exercise those demons.
He has to, yeah. If there's one place where you could go right, cool. Charles Leclerc's unbelievable one lap pace might grab himself a pole and then keep it.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm going Charles win.
Yeah?
Yeah, Charles win. What are you saying?
I'm saying the master of street circuits. Jolyon Palmer. No, Sergio Perez. Sergio Perez. We could both sit here and go Max Verstappen because that's what's going to happen, but I don't do that. Yeah, we're going to do Sergio. I'm going to go for Sergio Perez. I'm going to go for Max second because I don't trust, as much as I want Charles to exercise those demons, I don't actually trust him to do so, or Ferrari, to be honest. Well, I'll go for Leclerc third. I'll give him a podium at home.
I'm going Leclerc, Alonso, Perez.
Ooh. Yeah, no faith in Red Bull.
We need some...
I feel like that's a desire more than an expectation.
Perhaps.
But there's no problems with that. We don't have any problems with that.
I put my hands up.
Again, no offence to Red Bull. Half offence to Red Bull, but it's just, they're pissing me off.
I don't.
They're too good, man. Just stop being good. Like,
yeah, it's just that.
Just allow it. Just allow everyone. Let us live our lives.
It's the same with Mercedes.
Yeah, man.
The same with Ferrari when Schumacher was dominating. Yeah. Just come on.
Just let someone else win just once. Get me, so.
Where can they find us, Niren?
Oh, well, they can find us in their Doc Martens is where they can find us.
Ooh, in their Panasonic.
Definitely on your Panasonic. If you've got a Panasonic smart home, TV. You can watch us there. You can like and subscribe on YouTube if you're watching over there on your Panasonic TV. Pretty sure, yeah, you can like and subscribe on a TV, can't you, if you're watching?
Yeah, of course, man.
Yeah,
smart TV, man.
Yeah, exactly. Watch YouTube on my notifications. Yeah, all that jazz, you're good. Then. So, watch on your Panasonic on YouTube, like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating as well on Spotify if listening on audio-only platforms, whichever they may be, Spotify, Apple, Podcasts,
whatever. For anyone who's got to the end... What should they put in the comments of YouTube?
Oh, what should they put in the comments?
This is a good idea. Matt did this last time. And it was
that's a good shout, actually.
What word?
I'm going to say...
Or maybe a phrase. Stop shagging the past?
Yeah. I feel like that those will get deleted by YouTube comment section, though.
Shagging? Do you reckon shagging will get deleted?
Yeah, it might do.
It's very British, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be all right. Yeah.
I think we might get away with that.
Don't shag the past. Let's go with that.
There you go.
Yeah, or Imola was wank. One of the two, whatever you want to go with. As in Imola 2005. Oh, let's just wrap it up here. Peace and love in a bit, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.